Well, it is a privilege for me to be here this evening and trust that the word of the Lord will come to your heart afresh. For this is my desire, that the Holy Spirit of God will speak to everyone. This morning, as we sat around the table and having our family devotions, we were reading through the book of Revelation, and there we came across this verse in Revelation 15 and verse 4, a text that really confirmed to me the message for this evening. And it is very similar to the title that has been given for these nights of testimonies, All the Nations for Jesus. For in Revelation 15, in the vision of John, John sees at the throne of God all the elect of God, all those who have been born of His Spirit, and all those who have been gathered into Christ. They come and read in verse 4 of the song that they shall sing. And there it is, "For all nations shall come and worship before Thee, for Thy judgments are made manifest." All nations shall come on that final day. There shall be various people from all nations of the world whom Christ has gone and touched their lives and saved them by His grace, that will on that final day appear worshipping our Savior. And on that day I shall be there. On that day you, if you are a true believer, you shall be there. From all nations, there it is that there shall be no more denominations. There shall be no sectarianism, and there shall be no division amongst the people of God. For all the members of Christ's body, they shall appear as one. And this very much confirmed to me of this night's service. For myself, in September 1993 it was, that as a young teenager, I came over, I landed with my family in Heathrow Airport in London. England seemed to my eyes a very different world to what I had experienced. My family's stay in Britain was only to be temporary, just until my father finished his studies in Sheffield, in England. I spent about the last 13 years of my life in Iran. And you have seen it on your TV screens, or you've heard it on the news. In recent times, in recent months and years of the various activities and various difficulties of the Middle East. So you know where it is. And I don't need to go into details with you. But I was brought up in a Zoroastrian family. Islam is the national religion of Iran, and yet there is a minority group in Iran which they believe in Zoroastrianism. I have to quickly make a note of that and explain to you what that religion is. It is a religion that goes before Islam ever came to Iran. It is a religion that you read in the scriptures that the Israel were warned against. And they were told in, for example, the prophecy of Zechariah that not to worship the fire and the sun. Why? They were taken in captivity. The children of Israel were taken in captivity into Babylon. And they were warned about that because the state religion of that time was Zoroastrianism. And it was the religion of Cyrus the Great and Darius the Great that in the will of God, Cyrus' heart was touched, who released the children of Israel to go back to rebuild Jerusalem. God in that religion of Zoroastrianism is represented as light. It's a religion of dualism. That means that it teaches that there is a good force, that is God, and there is a bad force, a dark force, that is Satan. And they are constantly battle with one another. And the simple teaching is three things are the things that are taught that will get you to heaven. Are good thoughts, good words, and good deeds. I remember as a child, we had to memorize these things. We had to memorize. I remember I went to Islamic school. So I did study Islam in the religious classes, and I studied the Quran. We had to memorize large portions of it. And also I went to a Zoroastrian school at the weekend. And we had to learn the various teaching. And I remember with my family, we used to every year go to various pilgrimages where there were certain so-called sacred sites where some miracle, so-called, had happened. You see that over here, that religion is hundreds of miles away, but people in this country do very much the same thing, going on pilgrimages. And my family, my mother, every morning she would burn incense. It's part of the rituals of my religion. We had yearly animal sacrifices. Muslims did the same. And various feasts that we had to hold. So, in general, when I come to the bare bone of the teaching, and what people believe was that access to heaven, your right to heaven at the end of the day, it remains to what you do in this life. At the end, God is going to balance your good works and your bad works. And I remember my mom telling you as a little boy when I would steal some sweets or something like that, and she was after me and telling me, "Have you eaten that? Or was it your brother? Or was it this one?" And I would say, "No, it wasn't me." And then she would warn me and say, "God hears your lies. And on that final day, you'll be thrown into hell." And so with fear, then I had to confess that, yes, it was me again. But that was the end of the teaching, that it was my works, my good deeds, that was going to be accepted before God on that final day. And you know, that was the same thing with my friends who are Muslims. That is the same things that is taught to and believed by my friends over here who are Roman Catholic. That is the same belief of friends of ours who are nominal Christians, and they go to apostate Protestant churches. That's the basic belief. Some people might be sitting here. You can come and give exactly the same testimony as I have. Because you believed in a religion. You had a life and belief that you thought that it was your work at the end of the day that was going to be laid before God. Is it going to be accepted? How much good work have you done? How much you have given to the charity and so on? How much bad deeds you have done? That is the teaching of all religions of the world, except true religion of God that is revealed in Jesus Christ our Lord. Looking at my life from what God says, it was like this. I was born into this world. I grew up as a young boy in Iran. I became a teenager. I became a man. I had various aims, I had various hopes and dreams of what I was going to do in this world. So then I took on certain courses and I did my studies and education and went to university and so on. And all of that, when I look back from God's Word, it was all outward. All my aims were all outward. But when the Bible dissected my heart and revealed to me what I was living for, I was living for myself. I was living for this world. I was like a child, an infant in the mother's womb. I was attached to this world by an umbilical cord, feeding off the world, feeding off, constantly living for this world, thinking, when I get bigger, I want to get this. When I get bigger, I want to do this job. When I get bigger, I want to have this type of family, and so on. You see, friends, isn't this how the world thinks? Isn't this that a child thinks? We ask them, what do you want to do when you get old? And all that we would say naturally, something of this world. But friends, as the scripture says, the testimony of my life without Christ was that I was without hope and without God. My heart was dead in trespasses and sins. I had no life internally. Outwardly, I had all these desires. Outwardly, I wanted to do this and I wanted to do that. Outwardly, I went on pilgrimages. I went and saw my grandfather doing all those sacrifices yearly and taking part in that. Burning of incense and so on. Oh, it was all outward. But inward, the Bible, the Word of God, when I started reading, me told me that my heart was dead. All of these things were outward. All of these things were so that I could go to heaven. Not that I could glorify God. Not that I could love Him. God seemed to be so distant. God of Zoroastrianism, God of Islam, God of all the false religions of this world is a God that is so far away. Zoroaster was dead. Muhammad is dead. But when I came to the scriptures, I saw a man who is right now at the right hand of God, who is praying and interceding for all these people, who is alive, who rose from the dead, whose tomb was opened and he rose. And so many testify of that. All true believers in Jesus Christ, they testify not because they have some sort of notion in their mind, they read it in the Bible. No. There's an internal evidence. There's an internal understanding. There's an internal outworking that Jesus is alive, not out there, but in me. And the scripture says that the Spirit of Christ testifies of this. Little I did know in that year, 1993, that 4 years later, I would be facing the Bible. And I would ask you to turn with me to a passage that I came 4 years later to. In John's Gospel and chapter 14. John's Gospel is a Gospel that I shall cherish for all my life. And also then the book of Romans. For it leads so directly to Christ. It makes so personal applications to Jesus Christ. And then Romans, Paul describes those deep truths that are yet so simple for those who believe. In John's Gospel and chapter 14, I started one night, I remember, in my own room. I had a Bible. Friends had given me Bible. I had gone to the sixth form college. And there were some newly found friends of mine who talked with me about Jesus Christ. Who talked to me about my need of salvation. That there was something wrong in me. That I needed to be saved. And they said to me that all that I do, my belief in God even, is not going to count as anything. The fact that I pray, it is not going to get me to heaven. This might be something that might raise your eyebrows even. The fact that I'm reading the Bible is not going to get me to heaven. Why do I say that? Well, don't you remember when Christ came and the demoniac man, the man that was full of demons and devils were in him. What did they do? They bowed before him and they said, this is that just one. This is the Christ. And he said to them to be quiet, to not to speak. You see, the devils believe in God, James tells us, and yet they tremble. They shall be damned in hell. They believed before the disciples that Jesus was God, that Jesus was the Son of God. They were orthodox in their views. They could be one of the church members because they had outward profession that they knew who Jesus exactly was. But are they saved? No, they are not. Why? Because a mental grasp of reality and truth doesn't save. And I had been reading my Bible after my friends gave me the Bible for a year or so. I went to church for a year or so. And I had read John's Gospel a year before. But that night I came to this passage again, reading it. And I read it to you. John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Verse 1. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. I end my reading there. At that point in my life, the Holy Spirit had been working in me, had been preparing me for this. At that point in my life, I had come to realize, even though my parents were saying to me that the Bible was not true, it was written by man, yet the voice of the Spirit from His Word was teaching me that I had a problem. I didn't even have one problem, I had two problems. What were my problems? My first problem that I learned was that I had a bad record. I had a bad record before God. And my second problem was that I had a bad heart. I had a bad heart. And this was the picture of my life then. And friends, if you are not in Christ, if Christ is not living in you, that is your problem too. You have two problems. You have a bad record before God because you are a sinner. And you have a second problem because you have a bad heart. And you can't give yourself a new heart. And so these two problems, it's like a man who has some alcoholic beverage. And like a fool, he goes behind the wheel. Like a drunk man, he goes behind the wheel of a car, careless for his life, careless for the life of others. And he goes and he crashes his car into a lamppost across the road. And he's thrown outside of the car. Just imagine the scene. The police arrive. The ambulance arrive. This man has two problems. Soon, he will be receiving a letter from the magistrates, from the court, to say that he has broken the law by drink driving and that he is guilty before the judgment seat of the land. But friends, he has a second problem, because the doctors will tell him that he's internally bleeding internally. It is a personal problem. The doctors can't help him. Nobody can help him, but he is internally bleeding. He is dying. And then I came to this passage with these thoughts on my mind of my two problems that I had. And I shall be bringing to you these words from verse 6 that our Lord Jesus Christ said to, in response to John, in response to that man, Thomas. And he says, Thomas, I am the way. Thomas, I am the truth and I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me, Thomas. And that night he said the same thing to me. No man comes to the Father but by me, Puyan. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I always, up to that point, did believe that as long as a man is sincere, as long as a man doesn't do anyone harm and is generally good, he will be accepted by God. That is, he will go to heaven after he dies. But how wrong I was, and how wrong you are if you think like that. What does the Lord Jesus make to be the right entrance to heaven? What does he say that is the way of access to heaven? He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. By these words, it is almost as if he said, oh, you who have who are wandering in this world, and that's what I was, wandering, thinking about what is the meaning of my life. What are the meanings of all these things that I see around me? And he said to me, you who are stumbling upon the dark mountains of life, oh, you who are lost and you don't know where you are going, lost in some sort of a wild and tangled wood and forest, you don't know the path to life eternal. You are without guide. You have nobody to guide you. You have no friends desirous to find the path, but you are unable to see the track that you are going on. Are you seeking and anxiously longing to know the way to heaven? Because on my lips were these words, How can I know the way? Like Thomas was saying. He said to me, I am the way. From this text. I had read it before, but that night he said to me, I am the way. And I ask you, are you sick and tired? These were the words of Christ to me that night. These are the things that came out of this verse to me that night. He was saying, are you sick and tired of this world? Are you sick and tired of yourself and your failures? You can't even meet your own standards. You say to yourself, I am going to be a better person. I'm going to stop this bad habit. I'm going to be better to my parents, respect them more. But I fail and I fail and I fail. And Jesus, through this passage, he was telling me that you are sick. You are weary of this world. You're tired of your lying heart that keeps lying to you that you can do better. You can do better. You can achieve better. And it was lying to me. He asked me, are you seeking truth? And you would buy it at any price and at any risk? He said to me, I am the truth. Are you surrounded by death? Are you surrounded by death everywhere? Death within myself, knowing that I am dying, man. I am dying. Every day I'm getting older. Every day I'm getting closer to death. So I am within myself dying, and I'm surrounded all about me is death. People are dying. My families are dying. My relatives. Do you want to be delivered from it all? The Lord told me through this text. He said, I am the life. I am the life. Are you wanting to come to God and receive mercy at His hands? But you don't know how to come. You don't know if He will receive you. You have much fears. You may be rejected. Or you are in any way trying to please God by your own good works. Make note of this, friends. The Lord, from this passage, brought to my mind. He said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. By me. Think on these words this evening. Has it ever come to your heart? I am the way. The night that I read this portion, my eyes were open to these words. The Holy Spirit must speak, friends. You want salvation? The Holy Spirit must speak to your heart. I am the way. Have you heard this voice of Christ? Jesus now began to appear to me, and He must, to you, in a new light, He must appear to you. And I saw or began to see the beauty and the blessedness and the happiness of such words as these. I am the way. It was as if He spoke to me from heaven and said, what are you, sinner? What are you doing, sinner? What are you about? Are you going to a broken law of man? Because I was trying to do my best as a Zoroastrian. I started reading and reciting my prayers every day. We had a prayer book that we had to recite every day. I started doing that more. I took part with my family more in their religious activities. I went and I was sort of confirmed. I remember going to a priest, a Zoroastrian priest, and at their fire temple in London. And I was confirmed by him as being right before God, and he prayed over me, and he was burning various incense that day. And the Lord, that night through this, I am the truth, He said to me, are you trying to go to the law of man? Or are you trying to go to the law of Moses? Do not do that. That will only bring to you curse and damnation. Are you trying to, sinner, find righteousness before God through your works? That only will curse you. There is no life in the work that you do for me. There is no peace in your heart that shows that there is no life in you. So He now speaks. You must hear Him speak tonight if you are to be saved. You must hear Him speak these words as He spoke them when He was in His cross, on His cross. And He crying to God, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then He cried on the cross, it is finished. He was saying to sinners, I am the truth. In me, all the prophecies have been fulfilled. All the prophecies of the prophets of old. It is finished in me. It's completed in me. I am the truth, the true revelation of God. And He spoke in His grave. And He spoke these words as He rose again. You must hear His voice, friend. You must hear His voice. And He continues to speak to believing sinners these words as He did that night to me. I am the truth. And if He be the way, I ask you this. And if Jesus Christ be the only way for salvation, for heaven in this world, can there be any other way? Can there? There is no other way. You see, these words are exclusive words. He says, I am the way. The way. There is no other way. You cannot find your own way. There is no other way except through Jesus Christ. That means that if you are not found in Him tonight, if you are not found in Him, you are going in a different way. And there is no roads, no paths that will reach to heaven except the path, the bloody path of Christ, that He suffered and He shed His blood for sinners such as me. That's the only path that we sinners can have. That's the only path that we who have two problems, a bad record before God because we are sinners and a bad heart. That's the only way God has revealed and God has made. Then He says in His words, I am the truth. I am the way, but I am the truth. We are surrounded with error in this world. I was surrounded with error. My mind was full of error. I didn't know the Word of God. I thought I knew. I thought my teachers taught me the right things. I thought those priests and my religious teachers in Iran taught me the right things. But friends, I ask you this. How can blind people lead other blind people? Just imagine, I was blind and I was being led by blind. And if it wasn't God's grace in my life, I would have continued and perished and died and would have been damned. People are living their lives on speculations. People are living their lives on uncertainties. The religion is a religion that is someone's thoughts about God. It's not the truth, it's someone's thought. It has some truth mingled in it, but it's not all the truth. How God is to be worshipped. I had a different view of it than what the Bible says. The Bible says God must be worshipped in the spirit and in truth. But I wasn't doing that. There is error concerning sinners and how we are to be right before God. We are to be accepted by God. There is error about how the sinner is to be led and the sinner is to be taught and made ready for heaven. So much error on these important truths that our lives are hinging on. And I lived my life like that, blind, until these words came. Christ said, I am the truth. I am not only the way, I am the truth as well. There is no other truth. If whatever you know leads you to something else other than me, it is not the truth. Has God ever opened your heart to these things? Has God ever opened your eyes to this truth that is in Jesus? Do you desire to know and to have this truth? Then friend, if you desire that, if you want that, then start reading the Word of God, this Bible, prayerfully, with your heart longing, with your eyes anxious, seeking the Word of God. With that seeking spirit, you must read. And that night, I came asking, how can I know the way? How can I know the way? And Christ spoke. You must receive the truth from Christ's mouth. You must receive it from Christ's mouth. This is so essential, friends. You must sit at His feet and hear His whispers of His heart. This is my Jesus. This is my testimony that Jesus Christ is alive and He speaks to sinners today. Has He spoken to you? Have you received Him and has He received you? Can Zoroaster speak? No. Can Muhammad speak? No. Can Buddha speak? No. They're all dead founders of dead religions of the world who are dead and gone. But Jesus Christ is alive. He says to the believing soul, I am the way and I am the truth. All except and out of me is error. Look to me, he says. Listen to me. Keep close to me. I will guide you. I will lead you. I will bless you. So in this way, to be looking up to and believing in, then laying hold of that incarnate and living truth, Jesus Christ, is a very different thing than just reading the Bible. That's a different thing than just observing it. The Pharisees knew the Bible backwards and forwards and upside down, but they missed Jesus Christ. Have you missed Him? Believer, I say to you, have you missed Him? Without His constant voice ringing in your ears, how can you expect a blessing? How can our churches expect blessing if they do not hear the voice of Christ speaking from the pulpits of His church? Men may deceive us, but Christ cannot. He is the truth. You cannot even trust all the words of the ministers of the gospel. Because, why do I say that? Because our words are mingled with our own infirmities and our weaknesses. Though you may receive truth from the lips of my lips and the ministers of Christ, they are mixed with infirmities. But what you get from the mouth of Christ and the lips of Christ, you get it in all its purity and power. It comes warm from Him, but it goes cold from us. If I preach to you the truth I preach, indeed as the Lord enables me to preach, look then from me. Look then from all this to Jesus Christ this evening. You must look from man to Jesus Christ, the God-man, the eternal Son of God. Do you know this experientially? Have you heard these words of truth from His mouth? For He says, I am the truth. I am not only the way, but I am the only truth in this world. Are you trusting in this truth incarnate? Or are you trusting in this world of lies? Then He said to me, I am the life. I am not only the way, I am not only the truth, but I am the life. I am the life. And not only so, but that He is not only the life to Himself, but He gives life to all those who come to Him. And we live, friends, in a dying world, as I said to you earlier. And not only so, but we live in the midst of death within ourselves, as well as in the midst of death around us. Our carnal mind, this mind of ours, by nature, when a child is born into this world, the mind is dead spiritually. It is active, it's working, ticking away, but spiritually, towards God, it is dead. The Scripture teaches that. The carnal mind is enmity. It is an enemy against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So, it is totally against God, this carnal mind. There is no spiritual life in the man naturally. There is no life. He is surrounded, therefore, not only with error, as I have said to you, but he is surrounded on every side with death. Even in religion, even in our church going and our Christianity, there can be death. In the solemn things of God, without Jesus Christ, everything is dead. If you say you are a Christian and you don't have Jesus Christ living in your heart, just think about it tomorrow. Just tomorrow. You might not take it in just now, but tomorrow lunchtime, just make a note of it. Think to yourself, today, have I Jesus in my heart? Is he living in me? For whom is my heart beating? Is it for me? Is it for my wife? Is it for my children? Or is it for my Jesus? If you can't say that, then you have him. That his heartbeat is beating with your heart. But if you cannot, I fear that you are not his. I fear that he has not given you a new heart. I fear that you have that second problem, you have still that bad heart. You might make a mental point of saying you are a Christian. You have a good creed. You believe the Bible, you believe in God. And that makes you a Christian. But without Jesus, it is a dead religion. What are called the means of grace in this world and in the scriptures, and they are not to be neglected and set aside by believers. But friends, they in themselves, they do not give life. Our preaching, it is dead without Christ. Our praying, it is dead without Christ. Our Bible reading, it is dead without Christ. Our church going, it is dead without Christ. Our gathering together, it is dead without Christ. Do you get this? It is dead without Christ. For where he is, there he brings life. Wherever he goes, he brings with himself life. This is the thing that came to me that night. That he has come and he has given me life. That he has opened my eyes. He's given me that sight. Oh, I pray this for my family. That they might come to know him. When he comes. And has he come to you? Has he brought his life to you? Whatever soul he visits, he brings life to them. Whatever soul he unvisits and he does not visit, they remain in their death. Has he left you in your death? Can you hear his voice? Or are you still attached to this world? You are still living for this world. That shows to me, and it must show to you, that you are still dead. You don't have his life. And you cannot go to him. You cannot go to God. You cannot go to heaven except you go to this life-giving Jesus. You cannot go to heaven. You see, friends, this shattered my whole self-righteousness that night. This shattered all my belief that I thought all religions at the end, they lead to heaven. It's like all roads lead to Rome, as the proverb is. And I thought the same about a spiritual thing. All roads lead to heaven at the end of the day. Why God is judging those who are living a good life, who are Muslim living a good life? Why is God judging those and condemning and damning those who are living a good Roman Catholic life with that belief? Why is he going to damn my family who die in their sin? Why? The thing that I did not see was this truth of the problem of man. That man has this great problem of bad record and a bad heart. That we in Adam died. When Adam took of the fruit of the tree, he died. But friend, let me tell you tonight, if you do not take of the fruit of the tree of Jesus Christ, you shall surely die. You will certainly die if you do not take of the tree of life. That is Jesus Christ. And he's there. He offers and he says, come unto me. Come unto me, all of you. He says to every poor sinner, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. But he may come through me. And friend, don't look to your obedience. Don't be affected and don't be cast down by your disobedience. If you see yourself, yes, I am a sinner. How can I come to God? How can He receive me? Don't look at that and be cast down by your bad works. No man cometh unto the Father but by Jesus. It is not on the ground of our obedience or our disobedience, our uprightness or our unholiness that you can come to God to find acceptance with Him. No one comes right but he who comes by me, he says. Christ is the way that is pleasing to God. Is the only way that is pleasing to God. Why? Because it is God who has designed it. God has performed it. It was the Jews who nailed Christ on the tree, on the cross. But Christ died for the sins of His people before God. He died for God, it could be said. He died that we might be made right in the sight of God. Has He shown this to you? We might say to ourselves, my sins are so great. My heart is so hard. My nature is so corrupt. How can I come near to God? And I will reply to you by asking this question. Will you stay away? Will you stay away with all that Jesus says? Will you not perish? And you will not perish if you come to Him, but you will certainly, you must be perished if you do not come to Jesus, for you have rejected the way that God has made. I thought that Jesus was the founder of a Western religion, but no, He is the one who has been ordained by God from eternity to come to be a Savior of the world. Do what the old Puritan said, and this is my testimony too. He said of himself, I have taken my good deeds and my bad deeds. I've taken them and I've thrown them together on a heap. And I have fled from them both and I've ran to Christ. And in Him I have peace. And I say, in Him I have peace. Friends, it is good to be a Christian. But for those of you who are not a Christian and you know it tonight, that's the next best thing. To know that you are not a Christian. To know that you are not saved. To know that you are not in Christ. That's the next best thing. Because to know that, the Lord has shown you much about yourself. And if you are not in Christ and God has shown you, then why? Why not come to Him who gives life? I say in finishing my testimony with the words of Rutherford, of that day that the Lord saved me. Since Jesus Christ looked upon me, my heart is not my own, for He has run away to heaven with it. He has. And He has done that with all those who believe in Him. He is the one who has taken the heart of all who believe in Him. And we now live with Him in heaven. Part of us is living with Him in heaven. Is that your testimony? I'll leave it with you. May the Lord speak to each one of our hearts. Amen.